Now it's time for Paul's in Politics with the Boston Herald's Dave Wedge on Monday Night Talk on 95.9 WATD.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk and the final guest of the evening, kind of the cherry on top. He is Dynamite Dave Wedge joining us for a few minutes. Dave, how are you?
Good. How you doing, Kevin?
We're doing pretty good now that the BC won its fourth Beanpot Cup.
That's nice. That's nice. They had a little slip-up after that, though. They lost to Merrimack, and then they tied last night. So, got to get them going.
Got to get them going. But, hey, it's not like it's the final. It's not like it's the Frozen Four that they're messing up in.
Yeah, that's true. It's tight. Hockey East is tough this year, though. There's a lot of good teams.
Yeah, I know you're a big hockey guy. How are the Canadians doing?
They're doing great. they're doing phenomenal, actually.
I got to tell you, Tuukka kind of held them off when the Bruins played them not too long ago.
Yeah, no, the Bruins got them, but the Canadians haven't lost since then, and I think the Bruins haven't won since then. Is that right?
It's a good possibility. Yeah, they won last night. They won 3-2, thanks to Brad Marchand.
Right. They won last night. That's right.
But they still.
They're going to. I get a feeling those two teams are going to meet in the playoffs again. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's always fun to see those two teams go. But, it's not like the old days when the Canadians always had the Bruins' number.
No, that's true. The Bruins got a lot of talent. Mm. Yeah, they really do.
Let's talk about the Blizzard of 2013. How did you make out through the big snowstorm?
Well, I was out delivering the news for our readers, and I spent that night, the night of the blizzard. I spent much of it at the city bunker over in Roxbury, and kind of just monitoring the storm and the outages and the accidents and all that. Just pretty uneventful for the most part overnight. Then the next day during the dig out, obviously, we had some tragedies where a 14-year-old boy and a 22-year-old man both succumbed to carbon monoxide. They were sitting in cars running that were packed into the snow, and obviously now we know, unfortunately can't do that,
Just a quick note so you know, Joe Rossi is in studio. He's quite happy because Danica Patrick, first female to pole at Daytona, and Craig Pita, who I think you know from Brockton High.
I do. My old classmate. I've known Craig since fourth grade.
Really? Tell us some stories about him.
Elementary school together.
tell us some stories about Craig.
There's too many.
There's too much to tell.
There's got to be a good one.
I don't know. You got any good football? Craig played for Brockton High football.
Some of those stories aren't fit for broadcast.
No, definitely not. The Hook and stuff like that. I'm sure those aren't good for radio.
let's get right back into things. I just wanted to let you know who was in the room. If there were any questions posed, you knew who was here putting the questions. We actually had to ask Ed Miller to leave because we knew you were coming on. So. I want to kind of get back into the carbon monoxide deaths and
sure.
And some of the what's been said. I mean, a tragic death in Dorchester. A father digging out the vehicle tells the kid to get in the car, and before he knows it, he's got to call 911 because the boy's incapacitated.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, it was a historic storm. It was one of the biggest storms we've had in Boston, certainly in the last 10 years, and in the grander scheme of things, it was just a major storm that, there's still cars around the city that are buried in that haven't been moved. And, right. 6 inches of, 5 or 6 inches we got this weekend didn't really help Matt as much, And, anyone that knows Boston knows that, we have a lot of small side streets and they're, they get dangerously thin when it starts to snow like that. I remember back in, I think it was 03 or 04, we had couple of storms like that where we had like a foot and a foot and a half, and there were streets that became impassable, and it's a problem. It's something we deal with in Boston, but fortunately this time it looks like we had some warm weather a couple days after, and now we've got some warm weather coming this week, it looks like, so we should be all right.
I have to say I get a kick out of following Dave on Facebook because he says some of the most clever things, and sometimes he'll get attacked and he'll fend himself off. And one of the things that you said just before the storm broke was that people relax. It's a snowstorm. And I think we forget that, you know what, this is New England. You live up here. You expect this stuff to happen, right, Dave?
Yeah, you know, and I've always said, you know, I mean, more to the point, it's just, why live around here if you don't like it? You know, I just don't understand that. You know, I've got good friends of mine that, you know, they graduated high school and they went away to college and never came back because they hated the snow.
One of the things I never understand is I went to Market Basket before the storm came and the shelves were cleared of bread and milk.
Like yeah, bread. People eat so much bread during snowstorms.
It's a French toast.
Making bread pudding?
I was going to say, it's actually a French toast frenzy.
You know, Dave, to emphasize your point that if you don't like it, leave, the duration of the worst part of the storm, I actually had planned a trip to Charlotte, and I was sitting in 65-degree weather during the storm, and to come home to complete shock, to see no power, 2 feet of snow, driveway barely plowed, you know, it definitely made me reconsider what I'm doing up here.
Yeah, it's, you know, a lot of people get to that point. You know, my wife doesn't like it. She I think Florida may be in her future.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I'm a winter guy. I'm on my way home from Vermont right now from skiing, and you know, I play hockey. I love winter. It's my time, you know, and I love the summer too. But I just don't understand people that hate the snow and hate the cold that live in Boston. It just doesn't make a lot of sense.
Are you strictly in the skis, or have you jumped over to snowboard yet, Dave?
I snowboard a little too. I did that when my daughter was little, so
yeah.
That's a good way to, you know, kind of, I can go on the easy slopes with her and have some fun. But I'm a skier first and foremost.
Okay, let's get back to some of the stuff that I know that you've been working on. What do we get for updates as far as casinos? Some of the things that I was researching, I guess the Gaming Commission has put a deadline on a couple of developers. Give us the details on that.
Yeah, I think it was today, I believe, was the deadline. So 11 companies bid for licenses, and all but two of them have specified what license they're going after and their location, you know, such as Suffolk Downs is seeking a casino license for East Boston.
Right.
You know, Milford and Foxwoods are seeking one for Milford, a casino. But there's two companies, Rush Street Gaming out of Chicago, and a billionaire out there, Neil Bloom, and then also a company called Cordish, and a company they've set up called PPE Casinos. They run Maryland Live Casino down in Baltimore. And those two companies they paid their $400,000 fee for, you know, to get the ball rolling, to get their background checks going, but they haven't said where they want to build or what they want to build. So, you know, there's rumors that, that Cordish is looking at the Liberty Tree Mall for a casino slots parlor. And then there's, you know, talk of Rush Street looking for a slots parlor out in Worcester, but neither one of those is confirmed yet. And so the Gaming Commission has given them a deadline to say at least, you know, which license they're looking at. So, and, you know, it's kind of weird, and this is what we're going to deal with this casino stuff. We don't have, you know, the casino board is being built from scratch.
Mm.
All this stuff is new, and they're learning as they go. So, you know, in hindsight, there's probably a lot of developers out there to which they paid the $400,000 and said, oh, I'll figure it out after, you know, they didn't set any deadlines, so I can just pay and get my license going and then figure it out later and look for the best site and start a bidding war. So it's really a strange situation. Those two companies, in my opinion, have a bit of an unfair advantage.
Meanwhile, Steve Wynn is looking at the prospects of doing something in Everett, but he might have to clean up that site first, right?
Definitely will have to. It's a major cleanup that has to happen there. It's been a chemical site for over 100 years.
Could it be a Superfund? Could it be a Superfund site if he pushed it?
I people have told me that it's already got the designations, but I couldn't confirm that for you tonight, Kevin. But it's definitely the DEP, the State Department of Environmental Protection, has ordered them to clean that site. And that order was given back in the 80s, I believe, and the site's never been cleaned. And now, last week, they just filed their plan, and they actually asked for an extension. And that's what my story was about last week, is that, you know, this cleanup plan could take a couple of years. So the question is that going to affect the Gaming Commission's decision on whether or not to award that license to them? You know, if they're looking at a, you know, 3-4 year cleanup, you know, maybe that's not the best place to put a casino. You know, I think that's something the Gaming Commission will have to look at.
Anything in closing? Anything that you're working on that we can take a look between the pages of the Herald to read up on?
Well, no, you know, I'm at City Hall, so I'm following a lot of the stuff. I think the race for Jack Hart's seat is going to be real interesting with Nick Collins and Linda Forey. You know, I'm surprised Marty Walsh didn't get in that. He was going to get in that, but that's going to be quite a race between two really smart, good politicians. They're both very hardworking, Linda and Nick Collins over there in Southie. And Linda's husband actually is Bill Forey, who runs the Dorchester Reporter, the newspaper. So, you know, they both have a lot of support, so that's going to be a fun race to watch.
But no Republicans running for that seat?
I don't think you're going to see a Republican out of Southie or Dorchester. And they certainly won't get the iron workers on their side.
Okay. And if folks have a tip or a lead to a story that you can follow up on?
Sure. They can reach me at dwedge@bostonherald.com or find me on Facebook or Twitter. Just at Dave Wedge or Facebook is facebook.com/DaveWedge.
Dave, thank you.
And I am friends with Craig on Facebook.
Dave, have yourself...
We're friends in real life and we're friends on the computer.
Dave, have yourself a safe evening and we'll look forward to talking to you in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, you guys too. Have a great week.
All right. A great evening. Thank you.
Good night.
Bye.
See you.